Dirt and Sprague.
It's time to get going. You know, we stepped up. We brought our best offer forward. This is our starting point. Now let's start talking, and that's the most important point we'd like to really take out of this today.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Grisham, this one to right center field. Did he do it again? Touch of all time! A twofer for Trent Grisham. Two more runs batted in. 5-4 in the game. And the Yankees are rolling right now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague here at Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Red 85, Fat Hot.
Football returns tonight. I'm fired up for that. I'm Dirt. He's Swag. What's going on, Swag? How we doing today?
Well, I almost had a heart attack last night.
You thought your guy was going down.
I thought Freddie Freeman died going for a pop foul into the Royals dugout.
I still have not seen this. So he's ranging over to the first baseline and just stumbles on
in. So he takes a glance midway, and he sees there and
Making sure you got some room.
Making sure, and you thought, glancing. Okay, he's checking for the railing.
Yeah, see where
and
it
you
is.
Can see maybe he tries to.
Oh yeah,
I mean it was just it was Chevy Chase like Saturday Night Live. He just disappears.
Where did he go, Freddie?
Our buddy Steven Nelson was in the booth doing the Dodger broadcast this week,
calling the games. Yeah,
so who knows where Joe Davis is?
Right.
So he's in there with the Oral and his. You just hear, oh no.
Oh no. Oh no. That's not good. That's
there was about 45 seconds of silence while everybody runs over there. Dodgers trainer sprinting across the infield from the Dodger dugout to the Royal dugout.
Isn't it funny how
not good
gave you one of those? Not good. That's not good right there.
This was so.
How have we not had the technology to like, why do we not have
a swinging gate?
A swinging gate like we have in hockey. Yeah, you got a line change.
I don't know.
You swing the gate open to take the field, you just close the gate.
Especially at that end of the dugout.
Yes.
I understand next to home plate where batters are coming in and out.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense.
But there's people over there.
Why in the middle of the dugout?
This was at the far end of the dugout
where,
you know, your trainer and your interpreter and, you know, the video guy are over there congregating and trying to hide the fact they're smoking a heater where the TV cameras.
Nobody can see us.
So there's nobody over there.
Like, what are we? It's funny how sometimes you can have moments like that and it leads to an actual change. Like this happened to the Giants years ago. They used to have their bullpens on the field.
Yeah.
Down the foul lines.
Yeah.
And it was the dumbest thing ever. And everybody said.
The Cubs had that forever at
they
Wrigley.
Did.
And some of it in the older stadiums.
You just didn't have room for it.
It was the way it was built.
But now in modern technology, like you got the money, you can move it, carve out a bullpen somewhere else in the outfield.
The ones that were still on the field were the A's, but there's 8 miles of foul territory.
A little bit different.
They were a little off the field.
They were more preoccupied with the flowing sewage.
That's where you had to have the extra kid
right just over there like,
in front of the catcher.
Hang out. Look out. Here comes a ball. Heads up. I got to field this one.
He's catching foul balls.
But there was a guy years ago who was chasing down a foul ball and he tripped on the mound, smacked his head into the ground and got a concussion. And they were like, all right, we should probably
move these. And
what did they do the next offseason? Yeah. They took him out of the field. They put him out in center. Like, what? You took somebody getting hurt? So maybe this is the driving force to get our hockey gates in Major League Baseball dugouts.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Long overdue.
Dodgers got a few bucks.
You can handle it.
They can probably install something
there. It is so funny. I'm watching the highlight of it, and he just disappears. They eventually show some gal in the stands who looks like she's legitimately crying. Like, looks like
I know.
Like he's dead. My God. Freddie Freeman died last night.
So this is after. So the Hops took care of business last night.
Whoa.
Hops are not out of a playoff spot, by the way.
Somehow, some way. Okay.
They're only four back.
Baseballs.
They're closer to the playoffs than the Mariners.
Oh, that is a low blow. Whoa, right out of the gate. Come on, man.
So,
Mariner fans out there.
Called up some more kids from Visalia in the last couple of weeks.
Get some more bodies out
Hitting
there.
Some dongs last night.
Well, I'm glad Freddie Freeman is alive.
Me too.
Everybody's still breathing.
He got a big four-gamer against the Brewers this weekend.
I do have happy Thursday, everybody. I do have a question. I was wondering last night as I'm getting stuff, put away, and it's the end of the day, and your head's still spinning.
How long is the process from whenever you eat dinner?
Yes.
So I know dinner can fluctuate based on what you got, what the missus got,
anywhere
if you have appointments, whatever.
4:30 to 6, anywhere in that time frame we
so
eat dinner.
So once the final full meal,
yes,
there might be snacking later or something.
Of course, always
but
a
the
snack.
Full meal, the presentation, the little one, the high, is there a high chair?
Oh, we're still high chairing it. Okay. Yeah. We can't trust him. He won't sit still for longer than 10 minutes. If you put him in a chair without some sort of strapping down
That's
compartment,
right.
He is gone. He's running around.
You know what
the
funny thing is now I'm doing the same thing. So my dad's got to the point, he's got some braces, got to walk. We're learning how to walk again.
Here we go, buddy.
But he's got to be supervised. There's a little catch belt just in case he loses
his
balance.
Just in case, right, because you don't want another fall to happen.
So
that's
when
not
you
good.
Have, okay, I got to take the dog and right. Teddy ball game.
You got
We're
one
going
over
for
here.
A walk.
You got one over here. Arm out, leash out.
Like there is now it's I have chaos. To, it's full circle. So, like, I got to stop by where my dad is in his rehab facility a couple of times a week to take my dad for a walk around the kitchen so he can try
around.
To get the legs working
Keep that blood pumping, all right? Keep moving.
So how long from the time you have your final meal of the day until Teddy ball game goes down?
There's probably, I mean, you try and target bedtime and it never ends up hitting, right? Like, what's the hit percentage of what you want bedtime to be? It's very, very minuscule.
It's Mariners-like.
It is very Mariner-like. We aim to win 54% of our games and get to bed at 7:30.
Fair percentage.
And we're probably winning 28% of our games with a 7:30 bedtime. It ends up usually being closer to 8 o'clock. And then that's not even the end of the night, because then there's usually a 10 to 15 minute
well, then there's a cleanup,
sit in the room
put
period.
Crap away.
Then the cleanup period afterwards, and so you're wrapped up
now,
and tied down by
about
8:40.
Tag team that, like somebody, okay,
yes,
putting him down, okay, somebody else while he's putting
you go
down,
finish the dishes, you go pick
go
up these toys
up all the toys and throw them in that bin.
Yeah, you gotta work.
Then we're gonna go scoop up all the blankets and dirty clothes and all that, start a load of laundry.
It never ends, Jason Swigart. It never ends.
I remember,
as you're well aware,
and now you're doubling it up,
and it's soon to be a man-to-man defense at all times, which is no more zone in our household, which is not gonna be, can't go 2-on-1 anymore. Now it's gonna be 1-on-1 at all times. But I will say I am excited for having an older kid being able to play with the younger kid. That's the biggest perk of it. Because by the time the youngest one is about Teddy's age right now, I feel like my life will be a lot easier. Probably
now,
a dumb thing to say, but having another one to play with them is going to help tremendously.
Is this in the works? Because kind of like being the newest. We'll get to nudist later in the show.
There is nudism.
Sorry,
on the show
that was
today.
On my mind. I had to get some audio.
Do you want to try it?
Well,
hey, you never know. Hey.
Way over. Chef Ali's got something for you.
Got something cooking.
We'll get to that later. So much like a newly made Dawn in the family.
Yes.
I, as the older brother, when my younger brother was born, received a gift from said younger brother.
Oh, you did?
I got a trike.
You did?
I was 2 and a half.
2 and a half, and you, okay. So now I got to buy a gift for the oldest. Is this what you're telling me here?
I'm just saying.
Was little Jason T. Swigart thrilled with his gift when the little brother came around?
Had fun with my trike.
You did, yeah. Made the adjustment a little bit easier?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't even thought about that, to be honest with you.
I'm just saying.
Now I might need to do something. Just
goes
to set,
back, this is 52 years ago.
It's a couple years ago. You know, just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Just
we're
saying.
Almost there.
You know, you want to...
I don't know how he's going to handle it.
Ingratiate yourself being into the family.
Right.
The family, as it were.
Welcome to the family.
Got to kind of buy your way in there.
It's not a bad idea. I don't know how he's going to handle it. We are. We try and talk about it every day, and he understands and communicates, but I don't think he has any idea what's coming. You know, I don't think he quite comprehends the change that is about to happen in his life.
I don't remember
our lives.
This, but my mom tells the story when they first brought him home. In the bucket.
Yeah, here we go. Meet this little guy.
Yeah, so after, they got all sense and introduced him to me. So then they had him in the bucket out on the couch, and they kind of went. We had like little swinging saloon doors in the kitchen. So
God, that's cool. I wish we still had those in houses.
Oh, they were so cheesy.
Why don't we? I want
they
those
fell
back.
Fell apart every time. My dad
like
was push constantly
him in.
Damn it, get another screw.
Exactly. You got to fix this again. Until you just rip them out of the wall at some point.
But story goes, they put him in the bucket on the couch, and I was kind of there standing next to the couch.
Yeah, hanging out.
And I looked around. I couldn't see them. They were back there kind of out of line of sight. And I just poked him right in his belly button.
He just gave him a little.
And he kind of squawked. And I had a big old smile on my face and walked away.
That's a great start to the older brother, little brother relationship.
This is how things work.
Welcome to the family, kid. Boom. Here's a poke right in the belly button.
Fortunately, he grew taller than me sooner than later.
Yeah, he could beat you up at some point. Didn't take
my
long to get there.
My parents reveled, I don't know, sometime when I was like in junior high and he was maybe in the fifth grade. Like, dude. I was trying to.
I would probably chuckle. If we get a belly button poke, I'll probably chuckle. That's kind of a funny way to like, hey, welcome to the family. You're just trying to figure out, what's this kid all about?
Exactly.
Is he ready to play yet? Can I quite do this? I will say, when you bring up the height thing, I'm very encouraged. Now, you never want to high step on your own 15-yard line, because that's about where I'm at
Teddy
right
ball
now.
Game in the upper percentile.
Dude, we're
of...
98th percentile
nice.
Height right now.
Look at that.
98th percentile. I've never been 98th percentile of anywhere close to that in my life. So
I will tell you, on my fourth or fifth grade YMCA basketball team, I was playing center. So
why you gotta do that to me, man?
Sometimes things don't always keep up.
Come on, man. Come on. Let me have hope here, okay? Allow me to dream, all right? Allow me to dream. Although, if he reaches your height, that's going to be pretty significant.
I was going to say, if he's 6 feet tall, you're going to be ecstatic.
Dude, that is a modern miracle. And I don't know how we did it, but I'll take it. I'm not complaining about it. No, what I was thinking last night, putting stuff away, because it takes forever. When you get back from a trip and a vacation, you just went to Italy for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Now, every trip's going to be a little bit different, right? Like, did you go camping? Do you have gear? Are you packing the car? Like, every trip's a little bit different. How long does it take you to feel unpacked upon arrival?
Ooh.
Are you like an immediate, we get home, get everything unpacked, laundry going, put it all away? Do you let it sit for a day or two? How long is that process for you?
We got home late in the evening.
Yes.
So there it was.
You turn around, come and do the show the next day,
No. I didn't.
You took the buffer day.
I was smart enough about that.
Smart call with the time change
and
everything.
So we took one more day. And so we came home and basically just threw suitcases downstairs.
You're exhausted, traveling all day.
Yeah, you know. And so she wanted to take a shower because we'd been on an airplane for 14 hours.
Makes sense. Airplanes are disgusting.
So that, you know, you just did that. You know, we checked the mail. That was pretty... And we just went to bed. But the whole next day...
That was
doing
the cleanup
laundry,
day.
Trying to get stuff put away.
Is that how you normally are for trips, about a one-day grace period, or does it linger?
No, it doesn't linger.
Because I'm trying to not let it linger.
We don't do too much things that require, like, extra gear.
Right.
I've put the kibosh on camping.
Not doing it anymore.
I did so much as a kid.
It's
really
a smart call.
Did.
It's a smart call. Nobody wants to sleep on the ground.
No kidding.
It's cold out. No, thank you. All right.
I mean,
I'm out.
Stuff where we would hike into the National Forest up on Mount Hood, Pacific Crest Trail. We did stuff. I remember there's a lake up there, Square Lake. I think it's Square Lake. And it was like a 5 mile hike in. So you gotta carry your gear.
Yeah, have your tents.
No, you had to take everything. We had the tiny little pup propane. Like there was no big fire pits anywhere.
Not that.
It was gorgeous up
there.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was beautiful. Wake up in the morning with great views.
You know, summer, and the lake was pure, you know.
Yeah, go jump around in the water.
It was great.
Yeah,
but
that's a good time.
I did so much of that.
You're out. Yeah, I was putting away Teddy's stuff last night, finally, and I still have 3 more bags to go on the dining room table. And I just thought this is one of those things, like a New Year's resolution I'm trying to get better at, because we let it sit. And the next thing you know, if once you cross over like the 48-hour threshold, it almost just becomes like, that's just going to stay there permanently now.
There.
Like, we're not doing anything
until I'm forced to need this space for something. Like,
then I will find
your entire
it
family is starting to come over and you need the kitty card table for extra.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we'll finally get rid of, like, there's a dog bag. The dog stuff is still on the ground.
Here's the scary part about trips, because like when you went to Hawaii, there was probably less stuff when you got back. When you do a car trip and it's family, you're packing half his bedroom.
You pack the entire household to go for 5 days.
When you're forced
days.
To fly, you yes. have limited space. You have to consolidate.
That's a great point, because you're taking your suitcase, and usually all your dirties are there.
Yeah.
So you go drop it by the washing machine, throw your stuff there, boom, you're kind of... That's a much easier unpack. Everything that still is in a bag is not clothes-related.
Yeah, you're bringing the necessities.
Yes, everything. It's there's an air
but
blow
if you're
air mattress.
Like, hey, let's go to Ben. We're going to Seattle for the weekend. We're going to the coast. You will put half of his bedroom in that car. And consider taking two. Well, when you have two of them.
Yeah, I need two cars. You need two?
Minivan yet?
No. God,
you're going to have to give up your truck?
Come on, Swigar. It's not happening. Actually, I might. There's not a lot of room in the back of the Tacoma.
Wait till they start playing sports.
Not a huge cab back there.
And you're going to be the dad as long as we stay in this time slot. You're the carpool dad.
You want to pick everybody up? Come on, throw your stuff in the back, kiddo. Let's go. Time for practice. Yeah, I finally got his stuff put away last night. We'll see. I don't know if I'll get the other ones done today. I'll give it an attempt. I'm just curious for everybody. Like, I want to be one of those people that gets it done quickly, but I'm just too late. I'm just too lazy.
No,
once
the
you
biggest,
get home, like, you just want to sit down.
Just want to sit.
You've been in a car all day. Yep. Like, I don't want to. And then you go back to work.
The big one's the laundry. You got to get the laundry going right
away.
The
laundry is done. The laundry is done and folded and put away. That I took care of. But everything else, you know, we're still sitting down. So we'll get there. We'll see if we can get there today. We do have a lot to get to on the show today.
We have a busy show.
We do have a busy show.
It is, we're gonna have one of those weekends.
It's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be fun. There's a lot going on tonight. We have the return of football tonight. You got it right. The return of football tonight. So we will talk about that. Get you set for your full week of preseason football as games begin tonight. We got Brady Henderson coming up in the final hour of the show at about 9:25.
I figured this was a good time. This is the first preseason. We've seen a little Hard Knocks.
Yeah, they got the buzz going up there. They're ready to go.
Did Coach Mack and Hall hug it out? Are we good?
Yeah, what's the response to that? So that's coming up. The Terrion Arnold stuff's not going away. He just worked out with the Giants. We'll get to that throughout the course of the show.
He's working out all over the place.
And everybody's kind of flirting with the idea of signing him, but nobody's taking the leap
and
signing him.
But they got to check with their legal departments and security and... Are we actually gonna have him?
We don't know.
We don't know.
When's that trial going on? I don't know. But somebody's gonna roll the dice on that because it is the National Football League.
Yes.
And all that matters is winning, baby. And so we'll go to Seattle with Brady Henderson. We'll move because he's at 9:25. We usually do the Magic Hat the first, you know, two segments of the 9 a.m. hour. We'll slide that up a little bit so the Magic Hat will start at the end of the 8 a.m. hour and then go into 9 a.m. Then we'll get to Brady and all that. I got some college football stuff in the notes today. And dare I say, do we deserve or should we give a round of applause to the Portland City Council?
We'll give them a golf clap.
I think a golf clap is deserved.
They'll get a golf clap.
I mean, it wasn't perfect.
I appreciate they were all mostly on the same page.
Yes.
It was an 8-4 vote.
8-4.
We'll see how the amendment goes.
Now we'll see how the negotiating process goes. But they didn't do anything stupid yesterday. And one of the biggest fears, well, maybe they did. But we got time to negotiate their stupid things, right? They needed to send a message. They needed to approve it.
They got to have everything in place by December.
And they did it.
Because there's a time factor on the state's piece. So the $365 million in bonds
you gotta
do the renovations has to be...
Yeah.
They got to start getting that in place. And so stuff has to be in place by December.
Yes.
But there's something formal. There's something on the table now.
There's a piece of paper on the table. We can start negotiating.
Where's Tom?
Tom, where are you at, buddy? Where's your cheap ass at? Get your cheap ass to Portland. Let's go. Tommy Two Nichols. So we will talk about that today and kind of a reaction to that and where that entire story goes. We got some audio on that. We got the cafe coming up at the top of the hour. It is a loaded Thursday. And before we go in the opening segment, I do want to wish... There's somebody out there who has a birthday today, and they've had a hard time with certain aspects of my nickname, and they still put up with the show day in and day out. It is my mom's birthday today,
and
I'd like to wish my mom a happy birthday.
Excellent.
Happy birthday, Mama Dirt. She listens to the opening segment at the start of the show. She's up way too early every day, always turns it on. We talk a lot of nonsense on this show.
Have you been a teacher for that long?
It just doesn't change. It doesn't
stop. Body clock is fine, Tim.
You're up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You hear the first bell in your head before it ever happens.
Time to get to first period. She has to put up with having a son with a nickname Dirt, which has not been easy over the years. But she still listens. She's a loyal P1. Love you and happy birthday to Mama Dirt.
Do you have something proper planned at some point on the weekend?
Here's the tough part.
Mom like
my
to do?
Here's the tough part with my parents at the age that they're at and the stage of life that they're at is you ask them like, do you want to do something? Do you want to like? And it's just an immediate no. Just an immediate like, no, I don't need anything. No, I don't want. So I'm walking over there today after Teddy's nap. We live in the same neighborhood. so we'll cruise on up, you know, hang out and maybe go out to dinner or something. We'll play it by ear from there.
They just want time.
They just want time.
They want time and a nice meal.
They want a little pop-in, and we're going to do a pop-in today because they deserve it. So happy birthday, Mama Dirt. Lots to get to today. We are off and running on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Let's start, shall we, in the National Football League, baby. We'll start there next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 626. Happy Thursday morning, everybody. Cafe coming up top of the hour. A couple of funny thoughts from older siblings, younger sibling stories. I enjoyed this one. P1 Shane said, we got our son Miles a gift, too, when his older brother or his younger brother came. It was born. But as soon as he found out he had to share mom, he did not care about the gift anymore. Now he loves his brother, so we got through that period. Yeah, there's an easy, like, hey, this is happy. Wait a minute. I got to share you here? I got to share all my stuff now? No, I'm not down with that. Another one, bringing my younger brother home from the hospital. I was riding in the back seat with him, and I told my parents that the baby told me he wanted fries and a hamburger from McDonald's. I was 5. That right there.
There you go.
That's a veteran move right there. That's knowing what you want in life right there and going out and getting it. Yeah, we'll see how Teddy Ballgame handles it. Hopefully he handles it okay. It's coming, man. It's almost here. The countdown clock's on. We're getting bigger. I'm looking at the middle of August. What the hell happened? The summer of dirt is almost gone, man. It's almost gone. But you know what's going to fill my hole for weeks and months to come? You know what's going to fill my hole.
New 85! What's that?
Last week we had the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, which ended up being a great game. I was not here to talk about it. Still bummed about that. A little walk-off touchdown as time expired. One of the best Hall of Fame games I've ever seen.
Hayes King, watch out, Bryce Young.
Here
Hayes
he comes.
King.
He's going to take your job in Carolina.
I made the comment. I wonder if people will look at him because Taysom Hill is no longer a Saint.
Yes.
Will people try to possibly look at Hayes King in a Taysom Hill like? Potential NFL career.
He's a hell of an athlete. Not quite as big as Hill.
No, he's not.
But he's
tall.
More athletic than Taysom Hill. And so using him.
What is he, 6'1"?
He's a little undersized.
6'1", 6'1 and a half, like 220?
Yes. 6'2", technically. Okay. But that probably means 6'1". Yeah, 6'2 in cleats. He's probably about 6'1". A little bit scrawnier than Taysom Hill. But, dude, him running around, that was Georgia Tech's offense for the last 2 years. It was just him running the football and battering his body every Saturday.
I was channel surfing last night trying to go to sleep, and ESPNU or the ACC Network or whatever was playing Clemson, Georgia Tech.
That was a great game last year. Early in the season, they pulled off the upset. It was just him like ramming his face into the line of scrimmage every play. That's all they got, man. Brent Key, run the ball. So that was a great start to preseason. So we get a bunch of games tonight. I do want to dive into that. Six games tonight, and then it'll continue throughout the entire weekend. We do have the Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers Bowl tonight, but the game is not at Lambeau Field, and everybody's bummed out about that. He wouldn't have played anyway.
He wouldn't have played anyway. Why are they? Yeah. Why is the NFL teasing?
I know that should have been a game on the regular season calendar. Or actually, is it a game on the regular season calendar? I can't remember. Do they play or do they play? Was that last year that I'm thinking?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, because he was given quotes about, are you ever going to go back to Lambeau and will that ever happen? It does not appear that they're on
because the NFL schedules. It's a formula. Like your opponents are already determined.
They can't cook the books the way the NBA does with this stuff early in the season.
Well, sometimes. I mean, you can't play everybody. I mean, the right. NFL would love to have a 30-game schedule and just own the thing, but
crossover opponents,
you'd
they
have
push
to
it
have
far.
120-man rosters and
yeah, not going to happen. So we have 6 games tonight. I do want to dive into that in a second. Did you see, though, this was totally random. We got some quarterback news to get to as well. The NFL is getting accused of using AI. Have you seen this story?
That I haven't seen.
So this is wild. So there's the podcast Move the Sticks, which was technically an operation of NFL.
It was under NFL.
The NFL umbrella.
Whatever.
NFL
but
media.
Now ESPN's running NFL Network and media properties or something.
That podcast is hosted by Daniel Jeremiah, or was, by Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. Now, they ended it, and they are, I don't know if they're doing it together or if it's something else, but Daniel Jeremiah is starting a new podcast, kind of launching a new thing.
He did not get kept, because part of ESPN, when they laid off a bunch of people, there was a bunch of NFL Network people that are going away. I think Good Morning Football might be...
Good Morning Football is getting the axe. Yeah, Good Morning Football is done, which is a bummer.
Which is too bad, but hopefully those people will be worked into, or some of them will be worked into ESPN's because I can see who's the
Kyle Brandt's the
Kyle
biggest
Brandt.
Name.
Yeah. That guy I can see on GetUp.
Yeah. He's the biggest name. I don't think he's getting
SVP
fired.
SVP loves him.
Yes, they're not gonna fire him, but the show will get canceled.
But I don't know about some of the other ones.
So they did this where people noticed that all of a sudden the podcast had been dark since June 4th. That was the last time a new episode dropped.
Yeah, I think that's when everything kind of came together with ESPN and NFL Network.
And then randomly this week, there was a new episode of the podcast that popped up.
Oh.
Because if you subscribe to a podcast, you know, you should go subscribe to our podcast. Did you know we're on Spotify? We're on Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. The Odyssey app, go find
it. Anywhere you can find a podcast.
Anywhere you find it, right? Subscribe, and then you'll get updates when a new episode drops. So get like a little ding of, oh, look at that, a new episode's out. There I can go listen to it, right? So all these people who follow the Move the Sticks podcast get this beep. Oh, look at that, a new episode of Move the Sticks. And people go listen to it. It's very choppy.
Uh-oh.
There's not consistent sentences at times.
Ruh-roh.
It sounds a little gimmicky. It's a little weird, right? We're previewing like the NFC East and the NFC West. That was the gist of the podcast. With the voices of Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hmm.
Now, this went viral, and somebody tweeted it to Daniel Jeremiah like, yo, did you guys, I thought you were done. You came out with a new podcast? And he said, I no longer appear on that old feed. I'm launching a new pod in a new home in the very near future. And now everybody, the NFL is denying this allegation. Everybody believes, and I believe correctly so, that they put into an AI prompt a football podcast with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks previewing the NFC East and the NFC West.
Wow.
And there was an AI version of the podcast that was posted. And it just, it's a hilarious look for them to turn around like, we did. What are you talking about? We didn't. And the one of the hosts of the podcast is like, yeah, I didn't host the podcast, but my voice is on it. So that's just a funny random
story.
You
want to talk about intellectual property and trademarking and lawsuits?
Bit of an issue. Yeah, bit of an issue right there.
Some lawyers are going to make a lot of money here on this.
I imagine so. We do have in the NFL.
Six games tonight.
Six games. So you got Lions and Bengals, Packers and Steelers. That game is on the NFL Network. Colts and Patriots, Cardinals and Raiders. That's on the ESPN. You can find that one on like ESPN Unlimited or whatever.
Yes.
Chargers and Texans. In Houston, and then the Titans and 49ers. Your two games on TV, if you just have the NFL Network, will be the Packers and Steelers, and then the Niners and Titans.
Those will be at the end of the live.
Night. Yes,
and then
live.
Then you go, because I already found the Charger-Houston one. It's like running at 2 a.m., so I've got it set to record so I can see that tomorrow.
I am ashamed to admit that I will watch probably far more of this than I should. I'll have both of these games on tonight when
they
begin.
Well, it's always funny because you know, the preseason is totally different what grabs your attention. Like, I'm more interested in Vegas to see if Mendoza is going to play and what he looks like and how far he's going right now. I don't know if I imagine they're not going to play Daniel Jones at all.
No, Daniel Jones will not be playing. He's not going to be in the lineup. You're not risking that. But there'll be a little bit. I don't know if A.J. Brown's going to play or get a series or two, so you might be able to see him put on a pass jersey for the first time. There's little stuff like that. Like I was chuckling last night because I was flipping around Netflix, not a lot on TV, and I was reminded that the Field of Dreams game in Major League Baseball is tonight.
It is. Well, they've been playing some minor league games out there.
Yes. They have a full new stadium out there, and it looks really cool. But
yeah,
this
it's
is
a
their
permanent thing.
They're going to play the Field of Dreams game tonight, which has become kind of a fun tradition in the middle of the summer for Major League Baseball. For years, it's been on Fox. This year, it's on Netflix. I don't know what that's going to do to the audience numbers. But it was interesting to think about how they waited until there was a semi-full slate of preseason football, which week, if you don't like football, you can laugh at that idea. The Hall of Fame game last week got over 9 million viewers.
Don't, especially the first weekend.
9 million viewers. Like, this will die down. When we get closer to the final week of the preseason.
Yeah, the last one.
Week zero is there. Dude. Guys aren't really playing that much.
Because that's all the last spots.
Yeah, your roster spots are getting popped for.
You kind of just want to see your team and remind you that it's football season. The second week is probably when you're going to see any starters that are going to want some reps will get some reps.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's okay, put everybody in bubble wrap and get me to week one.
Do we feel fresh? Do we feel ready to go? If not, then we'll, you know, change it and play guys as we need to. I saw Bo Nix not going to play this weekend, but he's going to play in the next two games. So everybody's going to be on a different timeline a little
why
bit.
Why he would play any preseason snaps, maybe a couple of series in one of them just to.
It's a funny balance because I remember, was it Barkley that gave us the theory that he looked at the track record of teams who play or don't play guys in the preseason and how it impacts? Because there's a decent track record of teams who don't play guys who get then usually offensively get off to like a 3 week, maybe not three, maybe that's being aggressive, but there's a little bit of a lull offensively the first week or two.
Yeah, because McVay took it when he started with
the
Rams.
We're not playing anybody.
He took it to the extreme.
Nobody's playing at all.
We're just not doing that. Now, there's some positions where you kind of have to, like for an offensive line, because you need cohesiveness.
Yeah, you want those guys working together.
Depending on how many new parts there are.
Yeah, I would play guys for a quarter. I mean, maybe not a quarter, but give them a couple of series. There's no harm, no foul. You're not going to call any exotic quarterback runs. Just get you quick, easy, get the ball out. Feel like you get into the rhythm of things. It's not the same practicing, even the joint practices.
This will be different whenever they get the 18-game season approved. They go down to two preseason games.
Yeah.
And they'll probably, I would guess they would space them out further. Like you'd have one, they'll still do the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, so you get those two extras. You'll do one the next week, and then you might have more of a gap until that second game.
Yeah. I think the teams almost prefer, to a certain extent, the joint practices because you don't have to worry about your quarterback getting hurt in those situations.
No, they can wear, yeah.
So you're not going to get hit. You can wear your protective jersey. And so that at least protects your most important asset for a lot of these teams. And then you can get some throws in, and it's not on TV the way that these preseason games are. And so I would imagine teams prefer that a little bit. We do have a couple of quarterback notes if you care about this kind of stuff. Now, these games are not tonight. Cleveland does not play until Saturday, and Atlanta plays tomorrow. They play Denver.
They get Denver tomorrow.
And we have the announcement that in a shocking development, Deshaun Watson will be the starter for the first preseason game.
Well, but they already said Shadur gets game two.
Game two. I love that we're doing this. One gets one, the other gets the other. So that was announced. So, you know, he's going to start on Saturday. And then Atlanta announced that Tua is going to start their first game.
Penix is still not quite ready.
He's not contact. He said he gave a quote yesterday saying, "I could do anything except get hit," which is good in a certain sense, but also you play football.
Exactly.
A little bit of an issue.
Going to have to work that out.
A couple of quarterback notes out of the preseason. I will be watching tonight. I don't know why baseball would schedule. I always look forward to the Field of Dreams game, but I got to be honest with you, where I'm at in my sports life right now, I'm far more interested in Packers and Steelers and Niners and Titans tonight. And so that will be on my TV over being on Netflix and watching the Field of Dreams game. But I'll look for the highlights at the end of the night. Welcome back, preseason football. It's great to have you back.
There you go.
The full slate of preseason football kicks in tonight.
Yeah, you got a good Saturday slate, and of course the final game of the weekend, Seahawks and Cowboys
right
here on the Fan
Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Little Sunday night football, man. I've been waiting all night, all day for Sunday night. Carrie Underwood.
I don't think we have any national TV games.
No, other than NFL Network. Not
the NFL
week
Network,
one.
But they just take the local feeds.
Yeah, so it'll be a local broadcast feed.
So next week you'll get some national TV games because they like to.
Work out the kinks, man.
Work out the kinks.
It's the preseason for everybody, and it begins, well, kind of began last week, but the full week at least begins today. I'm excited about that. We got the cafe coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll run through some audio of what happened in the world of sports yesterday, including a fear for one team that maybe did not need to happen. We'll talk about that and another team continuing to skid in Major League Baseball. But coming up next, an announcement of a retirement. How are we going to remember this player? We'll dive into it, talk about it next, 105.1 FM. The Fan. All right, we get to the cafe coming up top of the hour. And then dive into the city council, 8-4. How about that? We approved it yesterday. Here's your term sheet, Blazers. Let's start negotiating. We'll give you an update on that, how it went.
Let's see how close what we start with is.
Who's got the leverage, too? I think it's an interesting question on this now. So we'll get into that coming up in the next hour of the radio program. Retirement news yesterday.
I saw
the NBA.
This.
And it was interesting where he's a guy who we've certainly had our rivalries with over the years. Certainly a player that if he's not on your team, you're not the biggest fan of him. But still a pretty legendary NBA career coming to an end yesterday. Russell Westbrook announced he's retiring.
18 seasons.
18 years in the NBA, 11 with OKC, and then was a journeyman, obviously. Two in L.A., two with both L.A.s. One in Denver, one in Washington, one in Sacramento, and one in Houston. So he bounced around a ton there at the end, team to team to team, and was never quite, as he lost a step, right? Like that was always his biggest advantage was his athletic ability, averaging 30 a game. Never a great shooter of the basketball until you lose a step a little bit. You're just not quite the same player anymore. By the time he was in his mid-30s, it went downhill pretty significantly. But he would carve out a role and find a way to have an impact from time to time. And I'm going to be very curious to see how people remember Russell Westbrook, because he certainly was a controversial figure.
He was polarizing.
A very polarizing player. But also, one of the funniest things that's happened in the last 15 years in the NBA to me is the idea that we spent the majority of my life under the assumption that I don't know if anybody will ever average a triple-double again. Because since Oscar, we had not seen anybody do it. It had been forever. Think about how long. When was the last time Oscar did? Like, when did Oscar retire? Do you remember?
I don't know. In the 60s.
Like, it's forever ago. And we always thought, ah, that can't be done. Nobody's done it in that long.
Magic would put up triple doubles.
But not average it for the entire season.
Average it.
LeBron had a million triple doubles, but never for an entire season. It's like, to me, it's almost akin to the idea of a guy hitting 400 in baseball. Like, the idea of somebody hitting 400 in baseball seems like, ah, nobody's going to do that. And then imagine somebody does it, and then we downplay it.
Yeah.
After spending years saying nobody can do it, well, he's just stat padding. Well, he's just, you know, he's loading his numbers on a bad team. And it's, I don't care how you got there. There's a lot of guys who are really good on bad teams for the last 60 years in the NBA. And guess what? Breaking news, none of them were able to do it. He ended up doing it three consecutive years. Uh-huh. And then did it again his year in Washington. He averaged 22, 11, and 11. So four total of his 18 years, he averaged a triple-double for the entire season. And yet I feel, in a certain way, I feel like he retires and he's a incredibly disrespected NBA player because he never had the ability to shoot.
I think he will be remembered. I think he'll be more appreciated as time goes on. One, as we continue to see more of this load management crap, that dude showed up ready to go every single night, which was maybe the most admirable quality.
Yes, he played his ass off every night.
He was always in shape. He was always ready to go. He, from most reports, he was actually a really good teammate.
Yes.
And I don't remember any real off the court.
No, I don't remember anything happening off the court. He would shoot sometimes. I'm sure that drive his teammates nuts where you're like, why are you taking that shot?
Then the
like,
on-the-court thing of, you know, the guy was a nightmare to try to figure out how you're going to defend him.
Right.
But then sometimes his decision-making on the floor and recognition of what was going on at any given time drove you nuts.
Yeah.
The closest thing, and they played different games, so I'm not comparing how they played. But how they were viewed and looked at, for me growing up, Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight reel, who was just a physical freak.
On a lot of bad Atlanta teams, right? There were playoff teams, but not championship teams.
Yeah. You know, he could fill it up. He could do all of these amazing things. Right. But for some reason, his teams, when he was the focal point of the team, just could not put it all together.
Right.
Not that it was entirely his fault all the time, roster construction. They gave a ridiculous contract to John Konkak back in the day.
Doesn't sound like a good idea.
Paid him. Yeah, it was absurd for the time. It's peanuts now, but it was absurd at the time. So I view him in that light where I appreciated how he approached the game. You just wish you could have, you know, been that little coach in his head talking to him at those key times. Right. Is like,
don't take that three.
Don't take that three.
Right. Don't run that fast break when you don't need to late in the game. Like, there's no doubt about it, little in-game decisions that he will regret. This is funny to look up. So Oscar is obviously known as the last guy to have the triple-double. And now we've seen what? Jokic did it. Did Embiid do it? Has anybody else done it? I know Jokic has basically done it every year.
I can't remember if Embiid did it. Embiid might have done it, but maybe didn't play enough regular season games to, quote, qualify for it or something. I don't know.
Let me ask you this fun trivia
question.
Jokic
has done it multiple times.
Yes, which is funny now because he's become the next wave of the guy. Like, he does it and he's not even a top two guy in the MVP conversation. And he's averaging 30, 10, and 10 every year, shooting like 42% from three, which is hilarious for a center. Now,
some of that is
he's won too many MVPs. We can't give him any more.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, well, we went through that with MJ, and that's why
we absolutely did, right? And other guys
has one, and somebody else is like, no, MJ was the best player
for
10 years.
So this is a fun trivia question. Oscar was known as obviously the first guy to do it and the only guy to do it for the longest time. It was an iconic thing in the NBA that he did it. Do you know how many times in his career Oscar averaged a triple-double?
Now, I do want to say there was a point in time, and I think he started his career before assists became an official stat.
I have his basketball reference up, and it's 61. He won Rookie of the Year, and it counts assists in that year.
Okay.
It says he averaged 9.7 that year.
I think he might have only done it once and no more than twice.
He only did it once. Yeah. It was in the second year of his career. 1962 was the last time until Russell Westbrook did it in, what was the first year average? 16-17, the first year without Kevin Durant. Yeah. He won the MVP, and he averaged a triple-double. So we went from 62 to 2016. That's how long the gap was. Gave an MVP, and then he did it the next year, and he finished fifth in MVP voting. So he went from winning the award down to fifth overall. He'll obviously be remembered here locally, the shot and the clap and the wave, the OKC series and all that stuff went down. I read a great sports book years ago, and it was the idea of basically, it's a very easy book to write, but it's fun. It's a fun thought experiment. Basically, like the biggest what ifs in sports history. What if the Red Sox never traded Babe Ruth? What's the legacy of them and the leg, right? Like, you go down these different rabbit holes. It's a lot of fun. The Blazers were in there. What if they drafted Michael Jordan? Like, there's a lot of those of, like, how do we look at the organization and the history of the league and how different is it if just one little decision was changed? And I will always have that for his career. Like, they went to an NBA Finals. They then traded away James Harden, who was their third best player.
Yeah, they would have kept the three of them together.
Together, and then you're up 3-1 on the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. You blow the lead, but clearly you're one of the best. Durant had just won an MVP. Like, you're one of the best teams in the league. And in that moment, the best player on his team walked away in free agency, and they got nothing in return for him. And then he wasn't able to get over the hump on his own. They tried the Paul George stuff, and they just spun their wheels. Now OKC is what OKC is, and they just won a title 2 years ago. But that will always, for me, be... When I look at kind of the landscape of the league over the last 15 years, if Kevin Durant had not made that decision, does OKC win a title or two? Because I would have I would have picked them to at least get to, you know, win one. They would have been in the mix. Do they win multiple? I don't know. And how do we feel about the Golden State dynasty, right? Like, do they just have the two championships and that's it? The one that they won at the start and then the one at the end? Does LeBron have three more NBA championships? Because they were in the finals every year. He went to four in a row. And won the second one and then lost the next two after losing the first one. So does Cleveland win the next two NBA finals if Kevin Durant doesn't join? And what's the legacy of LeBron? It's just, it's funny with Westbrook retiring. I thought about that yesterday of like, that's such an inflection point.
Was Scott Brooks the coach of that crew?
Wasn't it Donovan? Maybe it was Scotty Brooks. Yeah, maybe it was.
I thought Scotty Brooks started it.
Let me see.
Nah, he might have been swapped out for Billy Donovan somewhere in between. But
yeah,
I thought when all three of them were there initially, it was Scotty Brooks.
I think you're right. So they reached the NBA Finals in 2012, and it was Scott Brooks. Yeah. The year before that, they were in the conference finals and lost to Dallas. That was the year Dallas won the championship. And then they lost in the semis. And then they lost to the Spurs in the conference finals in 2013-2014. And then had the year that they blew the lead in the conference finals in 2015-16.
Yeah, what's Scotty Brooks' legacy?
They did not get out of the first round of the playoffs after Kevin Durant left for the next 4 years. They lost to the Rockets the next year, the Jazz. Then it was the Blazers series with the Wave and Dame. And then they lost in seven to the Rockets in 19 and 20. And so it just, and Billy Donovan was eventually made the coach after they missed the playoffs in 14-15. So, it's just a hell of a career. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, the thing I will always appreciate about Russ, he's certainly a controversial player for some of the on-the-court decision-making, no doubt about it. Not perfect. But him, the way and the effort that he played with every night.
He never cheated the game.
There is an idea in that league right now that I think just kills it with the average, the average American, if you will. But, like, the idea that I can spend money to go see a game because somebody's going to be in town and then they don't play.
Yep.
And it just is it's a spit in the face of the hardworking person who's trying to spend money to take their kids or their family or whatever, go with their buddies to a game, and then all Victor Wembanyama's not playing tonight. That's great. Cool. That was the guy I wanted to see. And that was never a thing you had to worry about with Russell Westbrook.
No.
He was an old school guy in that regard, and I will always appreciate him for that. And that's probably what, outside of the triple-double stuff and the way that we poo-pooed it just because of who he was, if anybody else averaged a triple-double for three straight years other than Russell, if LeBron did it, it would be the big... But after Russ did it for 1 year, it's like, he's just padding his stats. Don't give him another MVP.
No,
after
the,
going for the everything
only guy we
would
have poo-pooed would have been Draymond if Draymond did it.
10-10-10. So the retirement of Russell Westbrook, his career comes to an end. We'll always have the wave. Bye-bye to Russell Westbrook. Enjoy retirement. Be curious to see where he goes. Is he a media guy? Is he a fashion guy?
Fashion guy.
Walk the runway.
He'll do that. I mean, you'll see him at games. I think he likes the game, but I don't.
Coaching? You think we'll get into coaching?
No.
I don't see him as a broadcaster.
No, he's not a broadcaster. Nah. No.
Go walk the catwalk, baby.
He'll go do something else.
So, Russell Westbrook retired yesterday. We will get to another NBA story, and that is the city council vote on the Moda Center term sheet yesterday. What was the vote? How did it go down? What are the amendments? We'll get to that coming up in the next hour of the show, but we start the 7 a.m. hour, as always, with the Cafe, a look around Major League Baseball, and a couple of tidbits out of the NFL. That is in the Cafe, and it's next on The Fan.